WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. And we will take more of your calls. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But you heard Phil mention there that if you get a message from Fall River Mayor Paul Coogan looking for money, it's a scam. Don't send them any money. But my question is, what happens if I get a message from former Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa looking for money? That might actually be true. I mean, I'm pretty sure that he's going to need some money when he gets out of jail, having to pay back the people he defrauded from with his Snow Owl app. I mean, they confiscated his Batman Rolex, so he's going to need a new watch. I don't know that he'll go for a Rolex, maybe, but he's going to need something to tell the time. So if maybe he just needs some money for the canteen, I don't know. But speaking of jail, Bristol County Sheriff Paul Heroux sent out a press release yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? Hold on. The days all melt together. Give me a moment. Let me pull it up. I think it was the day before. Yes, it was Wednesday. And this is his plan. And you can hear the sheriff once a month with Chris McCarthy on South Coast Now. But in case you weren't aware of this, Massachusetts, of course, made it a law that inmates can have unlimited phone calls while in jail. But Sheriff Heroux is looking at this and saying in just his jail alone, that's going to cost $5 million annually. That's his projection. So his idea, and that what that means is that, you know, for a certain period of time, I forget the exact hours, but it's a majority of the day, inmates can just use the phone and be on the phone for as long as they want. And as he said, it's, you know, it's an important thing for them to be able to call loved ones and stay in touch with loved ones, and that helps with recidivism, and that will help them, you know, hopefully be on the right path when they get out and all of that. And so he feels like it's important, but he also finds too, because they monitor those calls, that there are people who are still trying to conduct criminal activities using those phone calls. And his proposal is that those phone calls still be limited. He was proposing something that would regulate the amount of time that they have, you know, and still not keep them from being able to, you know, not keep them from being able to make phone calls, but just make it a more reasonable time. But what I found to be, he's saying 20 minutes a day, 35 or 35 minutes every other day would be more practical. But what I found concerning about this is the fact that they're paying like 8 cents a minute for these calls. The Commonwealth is paying that. The jail is paying that. The county is paying that. How do we let that happen? Because these companies are making money off of providing this service to the inmates. Why can't we just get them a regular phone line? You and I can get a phone line for, I don't know what they charge now, I don't have a landline, that has unlimited calling, businesses can get a phone line that has unlimited calling, probably cost them $150 a month at most. Why are we paying $5 million a year for inmate phone calls? Can't we just get Verizon or Comcast service at the jail and be done with it? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
So good. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm in and out of rooms here, but I heard you when you were talking about food. Before I get to the food, You know, don't break the law. You won't go to jail, and you don't have to worry about calling your family. Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't baby nobody. You're in jail, no phone calls. Tough. It's tough. Stay out of jail. Is that okay?
Well, yeah, but this is a state law that they have to abide by. The jail does. So Sheriff Arroyo is just trying to say this is a ridiculous cost to be able to abide by this.
Yeah, well, I say put it all in the garbage can. Now, heard you talking about food and macaroni and everything. You said you found a low-carb macaroni. What the hell is that made of, Mr. Weisberg?
I looked at it on the package and I don't remember, but I'll look it up.
Yeah. Look it up. 2 carbs. What's the serving? 2 ounces? 3 ounces? Can you taste it? Can you smell it without inhaling the carbs? If there's no carbohydrate in that macaroni, it's poisonous. This is why, I know you don't agree with me, but this is why people are so whacked out in the head now. Poisonous food. Our water's practically poisoned now. Medications are killing people and changing their whole inside of their whole body, including the brain. You think these people just off the wall, just going to schools and killing people, they're just mentally ill? No. A lot of it also has to do with the medications the doctors are giving them and the foods they are eating, which is junk food. After my walk, sometimes I go into Cumbie's or the Basket. I'll pick up a coffee. I see teenagers in there on their way, ready to go to school. They got the backpack and all. What are they doing? They're going in there and getting candies and cupcakes and you name it and eating it on the way to school. That's going to be very productive when they get into class, when they start falling asleep and don't know what they're doing. Now, so, about the food, too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just looked it up. So the skinny pasta is made, and I told you I wouldn't be able to remember it, but it's made from konjac. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's a plant.
Like K-O-N-J-A-C. It's a root.
I know exactly what it is.
That's what this pasta is made from.
And it's fiber. All you're going to do, pooping all day. Eat all the pasta you want, Mr. Weisberg. It's not going to help you. Okay. I was off track. Okay. Then I heard you say about the other day, you mentioned steakums. Now, let me tell you, I used to eat a lot of that before I turned total carnivore back in the day. I would eat that. My sons loved it. My daughter loved it. And we used to eat it a lot. They're very, very thin, if you notice it. Matter of fact, when they start warming and they get soft, you can actually separate one into two. You notice that?
No. No.
Yeah, when you warm it up in the pan, you can get 2 forks and go in between the little slit and make it into this two. That's how thin they are. They put 2 together to make it look better because it's too thin. They're not going to give you too much, you know. But it's delicious. And now I just have it without, I don't make sandwiches out of it, but I'll just, a couple of times, I'll throw some eggs in with it or just cook it and just eat it the way it is with my coffee or something. So how many of those do you eat? How often do you eat them? They're good. They're very good. And I did read the package because you should know me by now. It's real beef and it's not all beef sometimes. There is chicken, too. Look it up. Sometimes they mix a little chicken in there.
Yeah, I've never had a steakum. I don't think I've ever made a steakum since high school. I think that was the last time I had one was at school lunch. But what I will do is I'll get the shave steak. Like you can buy like a Market Basket or at supermarkets, they have the shave steak already. I'll buy that.
Yeah,
but I haven't made actual steakum like from the frozen box in I don't think ever.
Yeah, but there's got to be something because I always buy shaved steak, a few packages for a month, and I make sometimes 2 or 3 servings. And they don't give you a lot, but right now it's been $7.99, $7.99, $8. It's going to go to $8.99 any minute. But the thing is, the steakums don't taste anything like that because that shaved steak, there's nothing in it. It's just cut off, you know, and put in the package.
Yeah, no
there's
seasoning or anything.
Different. Yeah, there's something different with the steakums. I don't know what it is. When I read the package, you know, it just says what it says, and there's nothing really processed or anything in there. But they taste good, and now that you woke me up to that, because I haven't had it in years. So I went and bought 2 boxes, and so I don't have any problem eating that because it doesn't really have any junk in it. So I feel good about that. And also, the burgers that don't have any stuff in it, too, is the Bubba burgers. But I will not buy the ones that have the cheddar cheese already in it. I want to control what I'm eating.
I don't find those to be cheese. As good, no. I don't like no. when they
well,
you shove
can't
stuff
eat too
in
many
it.
Of them. You can't eat too many of them because then you will get sick and tired of the taste of it.
There's
really not much, you know, there's not much bad about it, though, is what I'm trying to say.
I like the Bubba chicken burgers.
The turkey
burgers from Bubba Burger are really good, but they're hard to find because so often they're you know, either they don't carry them or they sell out of them, but those are really good. Second to those are the Butterball ones. I kind of like the Butterball ones, but I just take put them on a, you know, I'll get those keto buns if I want a bun, but I just put them right on a plate and, you know, I season them up and just eat them like it was a little steak, a little turkey patty.
Well, that is a big name, Butterball. I mean, have you been to the Walmart in Plymouth, which is even bigger than the one in Dartmouth? I have a friend that works there.
I have not. I know somebody that works there overnight, but I haven't been there in a while.
I've never been there, but she's telling me that's bigger than the one in Dartmouth. And when I was telling her about, I saw in the news where a few of the Walmarts will be closing. And she says, well, let me tell you right now. Now, this is coming from somebody that works there, so I don't hold me against it. But she said the Fairhaven Walmart and the Dartmouth Walmart will not be closing. And she said especially not the Fairhaven because that was the first store to open around here, the first Walmart. And I don't know if that's true.
No, it was.
It is, I don't know.
I remember in the early 90s, that was like the only Walmart I'd ever seen in my life.
I don't care for Walmart bacon, though.
I was also thinking the other day, I was walking over to Stop and Shop, and I was like, walking by Ace, and I was like, remember when this was an Applebee's? That was so long ago. There was an Applebee's over there, yeah.
Yeah, no, it didn't last long, did it?
I don't know how many years it was there.
That Geno's, I never see anybody in there. So are they even open at all?
Oh, Papa Geno's? Yeah, I get some stuff from there. They have a pretty good Greek salad over there.
Before I hang up, what is the going price for a car wash nowadays?
Oh, I think it depends on what you get because they now have multiple service levels of car wash. But if you wanted to
if you do it yourself, not having somebody do it.
Yeah, I think it's still like $3 to get whatever it is, 5 minutes.
I need more than 3 minutes.
No, I think it's $3 for 5 minutes. Don't quote me on that, though.
$3 for 5 minutes. Okay. Then if you want to use the vacuum for us, I mean, you're going to do the vacuum. I know that place on Nauset Street. I see a lot of people going there, and I don't think it's that bad over there. It must not be.
You should give a try. There's a new, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but there's a new new car wash in Fairhaven over here on the corner where the motel used to be.
Yeah.
In that spot there. Give that one a try. The car wash is a little expensive, but it does a great job, but the vacuums are great.
No, I'm not spending money.
The vacuums are great over. No, I mean to use the vacuum. The vacuums are fantastic there. They're super powerful. I think it's $1 or $1.50 for it to work, and you get enough time to clean your whole car with it. And they have
$1.50. $1.50.
I think so. And they have squeegee bottles, and they have cloths so that you can wash all your windows right there. Yeah, it's a really good spot.
Yeah, I thought that since we were good friends that I could just go to your place and use your hose in front of your house.
I actually don't have a hose outside anymore.
I'm only playing with you.
I used to love being able to do that, just hose off my car, wash the pollen off, but I don't have an outside hose anymore.
Yeah, well, get one. Hey, they got this nice one. I forget what they called it, but you can't destroy it no matter what.
I'd still find a way. I ran over more hoses with lawnmowers than I've ran over grass with lawnmowers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, happy Steakums. Go have a few.
All right, you have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500 if you want to call in. That's, there goes the sign. Oh, it went down. Outside, they're installing sidewalks on Sconicut Neck Road. And they were just taking out one of the street signs to be able to work around it. And this thing just toppled over. Like, nobody even tried to catch it. But they've been out there for weeks now. But they finally got to the point where they're right outside our window. But that's a thing that I think a lot of people, they take for granted. If they have the opportunity to, you know, be able to wash your car in the driveway. A lot of folks say, well, you know, that's time consuming. I don't have time to get out there and do that. And, you know, the automatic systems do a good job. So I'm just going to go through the, but they've become more expensive. It used to be $5 to run through one of those car washes. And then they put in the self-serve bays. So that would be $5, say. And then it would cost you $10 to go through the automatic system. Now it's $15, $20. If you want to get like the ultimate wash at some of these, it could be as much as $22 to wash your car. That's why so many of them now offer monthly services. So you can actually, I know this one over here in Fairhaven and the new one in Wareham, they have memberships. So you can pay whatever it is a month, usually like $25 a month, and you get unlimited washes for that price. You can go through as many times as you want. So you can keep your car as clean as you want it to be. But it all depends on, you know, what you're going to, you know, because like I could have that monthly membership and it's only right across the street from where I am and I still wouldn't go. I wash my car if there's too much pollen on it and it makes me sneeze. And I wash my car if there's too much, you know, seagull droppings on it. And I wash my car if I'm picking somebody up in it and I want to impress them. Not that they're ever going to be impressed by my car, but still. Other than that, I never think to really wash it. I've got stuff in the back of my car that I've been meaning to take out of there for months. I give Chris McCarthy rides. I always got to say, hold on, I got to move stuff out of the front seat. But for those of you who like to keep your car spotless and keep it neat and clean, the technology is amazing now for car washes. But it's also costly. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. Joining us now, we have Sandy from Seasons, who's going to talk with us about the Giving Pump initiative. Sandy, tell us a little bit about the Giving Pump and how it helps.
We have chosen a pump at every single Seasons throughout New England, and the ones in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. For every penny that is pumped at that particular pump, every gallon, I should say, that's pumped at that particular pump, we donate one penny per gallon. And, you know, people would say, well, a penny, you know, what's the big deal? But let me tell you, over the period of 2 months and all of the stations we have in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, that penny adds up. And last year, we were able to donate $60,000 to Boston Children's Hospital.
I mean, I get gas at the Seasons in Rochester all the time, and I see all the big trucks that come off the highway utilizing that giving pump. So you think about how many gallons of gas each one of those trucks take and how many you're filling up every day. You can really see how that money adds up.
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't cost the customer anything. This is strictly us giving to Boston Children's Hospital.
And so when people pull up, they will see this specially designated pump. But if they maybe they don't have time to wait if somebody else is at that pump or maybe they accidentally use a different pump before, they can still make a donation anyway.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You can donate inside. We also have that going on inside the stores. So you can also donate that way if you wanted to donate.
It's also a great way to you get some change back from buying something. You can just drop those coins in and it all just adds up to help even more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about how this money benefits Boston Children's Hospital.
Well, we actually leave it at their discretion on what they feel is the best use of the money. So we haven't seen anything specific that it has gone to. But, you know, I just want to help the kids.
Right. It all just helps the kids one way or the other. Yeah,
exactly. One way or another. And I tell people, you know, when you're pulling up to the station, you'll notice that one pump does look different than the rest of the pumps. And this is decals that are put on that say the giving pump, but the color has purple in it. So I call it the purple pump. So just look for the purple pump, and that's the giving pump.
And you're probably going to get some people that are wondering, well, what if I get a certain octane, or what if I need diesel gas? Can I still use the purple pump?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the grades of gasoline are at that pump.
This is not the first year that Seasons has done this either.
No, this is actually year four. So, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, the initiative is incredible that Shell is doing this. And they're giving also this year, but they're giving on a wider, because it's across the country, to give it on a wider platform throughout the country. So since we, all of the people, the owners of the gas stations, are giving so much money, they're deciding to give, and they're giving to the Boys and Girls Clubs throughout the United States.
And again, it's important to note that this is something that customers can do to help without having to spend any extra money. They're still paying the same price at the pump that they would have paid anyway.
Right. All the pumps have the same exact price on it, so it doesn't make any difference.
So now with this being year four, do you set a numerical goal? Is there a dollar figure you want to raise?
We always want to raise more than the prior year. So we were able to attain $60,000 last year, so hopefully we can beat that number this year.
Oh, I think you're going to be able to beat that easily, especially with people wanting to go down there and filling up all their vehicles, getting gas for their lawnmowers, everything that they need for their fall cleanups. It all helps. It all counts. And how long is this promotion going on for?
So it has gone through August, and now it's going through September.
And I can tell you that when I've gone over there, you know, that pump is one that people are waiting for. They want to use that pump because they want to help, because they know that this all goes to helping Boston Children's Hospital and the kids there. So I want to thank you, Sandy, and everybody at Seasons for doing this. And I think that this is something that people, you got to get gas anyway. You might as well do something good while you're doing it.
Absolutely. That's my sentiment. Absolutely.
And again, this is at Seasons in Rochester and Lakeville and all across Massachusetts and New Hampshire.
Yes, it is. Seasons Corner Market. That's the place to give.
Thank you so much. And hopefully we can shatter last year's record.
Absolutely. Yes, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
And I hope that everybody heads on over to Seasons Corner Market and fills up at the giving pump. Again, it stands out. You can't miss it. And if you do miss it and you end up getting gas at a different pump, you can go inside and donate there. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Hunter Biden could get 17 years behind bars. The 14-year-old charged with murder in Georgia appears in court today. And the Boeing Starliner heads home.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hunter Biden could face 17 years in prison after pleading guilty to all counts in his federal tax trial on Thursday. His attorney addressed the media.
Hunter decided to enter his plea to protect those he loves from unnecessary hurt and cruel humiliation.
The president's son is accused of failing to pay more than $1 million in federal taxes during a four-year period beginning in 2016. Sentencing is scheduled for December 16th. The 14-year-old being charged with four counts of felony murder following Wednesday's school shooting in Georgia will make his first court appearance this morning. Colt Gray is accused of shooting over a dozen people at Appalachie High School in the town of Winder and the deadliest school shooting in Georgia history. His father, Colin Gray, is facing multiple charges for knowingly allowing his son to have access to a weapon. Heat advisories and warnings are in effect from Arizona all the way to the Pacific Northwest today. The National Weather Service says nearly 70 million people are in danger of major or extreme heat risk. Affected cities include Phoenix, Las Vegas, Sacramento, and Seattle. Texas researchers say they've discovered an antibody that would protect against all variants of COVID-19. Tony Waterman with more.
The researchers say they discovered and isolated a neutralizing antibody called SC27 from the blood of a single patient. That antibody attaches to the virus and prevents it from infecting cells in the body. The team was then able to use existing technology to obtain the exact molecular sequence of the antibody, opening the possibility of mass manufacturing for future treatments. One option would be to incorporate the antibody into a universal vaccine. Tony Waterman, Texas.
13 former cadets from the U.S. Coast Guard Academy are taking legal action after claiming they were victims of sexual violence. NBC's Kevin Gay says the complaint paints an alleged picture of reluctance to act on behalf of victims.
Jane Doe 1 describing two separate alleged rape incidents as a cadet, one in a dorm, the other while assigned to a ship. She writes, quote, "At the hotel, I was forced to be in a room alone with the chief corpsman. He locked the door and forced himself on me sexually."
The former cadets from the academy in New London, Connecticut, claim their pleas for help went unanswered by the Coast Guard. In legal complaints filed Thursday, the cadets gave details of what they claim were rapes and assaults on campus while they were serving. The frequent flyer programs of the top four U.S. airlines are being investigated for unfair practices. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
The Department of Transportation said Thursday that it was launching a probe to make sure consumers do not face deceptive or anti-competitive practices from the major carriers. Reuters has Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg sent letters to American, Delta, Southwest, and United Airlines, ordering them to provide records and submit reports about their rewards programs. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And the Boeing Starliner, with no humans aboard, set to begin its journey back to Earth. It'll undock from the International Space Station tonight and land early Saturday morning in New Mexico. The ship is the same one astronauts Suni Williams of Massachusetts and Butch Wilmore used to arrive to get to the ISS, but they'll remain behind until February because the ship wasn't suitable for their return journey.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox hoping to snap their five-game losing streak entering tonight's series opener with the Chicago White Sox. First pitch from Fenway at 7:10. And the New England Patriots open the regular season on Sunday on the road with a visit to the Cincinnati Bengals. That game at 1, and you can hear it right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out this Friday morning with temperatures in the mid to low 60s under partly to mostly cloudy skies, and that is courtesy of a low pressure system over the Atlantic waters. It will remain dry today. Mostly sunny skies as we head into the afternoon, mid 70s, high surf and dangerous rip currents today into tomorrow due to that influence, indirect influence of that low pressure over the water. Patchy fog overnight, temperature around 60. Lovely tomorrow with more clouds and sun. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
A.M., but it's all right. You still might be in the Twilight Zone. It doesn't matter. The Twilight Zone can happen anytime. I have in my office here at WBSM, I have a big picture of Rod Serling right behind my head. So I'm forever in the Twilight Zone. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I was just taking a look at the app chat messages, and DSY sends over a question. He says, last week, Trump said that the Presidential Medal was more important than the Congressional Medal of Honor, that it was voted by Congress for veterans of war. Why isn't anyone talking about this? Why isn't anyone saying this, especially in the afternoon? Well, I'll say this. I don't always know that the things that Donald Trump says is even necessarily what he believes. So I think he just starts talking and words come out. So I don't know that he really honestly believes that that's the case. You know, I think he just, whatever he's talking about, he has to sell it. That's what he's always done. Whatever, you know, talking about The Apprentice could be number 15 in the ratings and it's the best show that's on television. You know, that's just the way that he speaks. So I don't really think that he honestly believes that it's more important. I just think that he was just kind of riffing like he does. And then if you ask him, you know, do you honestly think that it's more important? He said, well, no, they're different things. So I don't get too wrapped up in that. I also think, too, that he's been critical of some of the people who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom before. I know he was critical about some of the folks that President Obama gave it to. So I don't know if you can talk about it being more important if you are also questioning some of the people who might have received it. So, again, I just think that he was doing the Trump thing, just kind of riffing and trying to make whatever he's talking about sound like the most important thing in the world, putting the hard sell on it, and it just got away from him a little bit. I don't think that he really believes that. I think he understands the difference. But, you know, I did hear 3 hours yesterday of talking about what a fraud Tim Walz is because he said that he carried a weapon in war. But you're right. That gets 3 hours of coverage and complaining, but nobody brings up when Trump says something stupid. And I don't know if I buy the Tim Walz, I misspoke thing. I think what happened was, first of all, he didn't write that ad. That wasn't an ad. That was an ad for the gun legislation. And he didn't write that. Somebody else wrote it, and he just read what they wrote and didn't stand up and say, well, this isn't entirely accurate. And maybe he did say that. And they were like, well, just say it. It'll be fine. It's literally one preposition difference would have solved all that problem. If he had just said, I carried one of those weapons of war instead of in war. And that's where he's trying to say that he misspoke. But that's really what everybody is complaining about, a preposition. The bottom line is he still gave his time. Categorizing anybody who serves in the National Guard as a weekend warrior is, I'm just going to say it, it's a bitch thing to say. Because that's still more than the people who are complaining about it actually did themselves. Serving in the National Guard is not any kind of, I mean, let me qualify that. I'm sure that there are people who were in the military who might make those kind of comments about people in the National Guard. I guess you can say that they have a right to do that because they actually dedicated themselves to the military full time. So they might also not want to say that because they also still understand what a sacrifice it is even to be in the National Guard. But if they said it, I could, you know, give it a pass. But for people that didn't even serve to refer to it as that, that's just disrespectful. But if he had just said, I carried one of those weapons of war, because that's what he was talking about. He's calling the guns that they were looking to ban weapons of war. So if he said weapons, I carried a weapon of war instead of carrying a weapon in war, this argument wouldn't even be happening. And the man retired properly. He didn't abandon his unit. He didn't let them get sent out with, didn't let them get deployed while he stayed behind. He left because he went into a different aspect of public service. Look at what he's done in his career. He's always been selfless in what he's done. Teaching, public service, you know, getting elected to Congress. I mean, these are things that are sacrifices of time that don't always have a big reward. And that just drives people so crazy because they need to poke a hole in it and find a flaw. And if that flaw is one preposition, if that's all you've got, well, we'll see what happens in November. 508-996-0500. I'm sure we will get all of those app chat messages now from people who are like, oh, keep licking those boots. But that's just the reality of the situation. None of this is the huge character assassination that everybody thinks that it is. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We will be right back.
Happy to do nothing. In fact, that's what I did. I got a million ways to make my day. That it don't agree. Because when I try to get away, he says, he got plans for me. Get to work right out of there. Stop bugging me.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How's it going?
Good. About the phone bill at the jail, do you mind talking about that real
quick? Yeah, absolutely.
I work in a phone business. I've been in it for like 40 years. And for a $5 million a year phone bill is just, it's mind-blowing. I've seen major American corporations that don't spend $5 million on phone bills. I bet you could probably do that for a few $100,000 a year, if that much. And, you know, I think, you know, there's probably maintenance of the phones. That's one thing. But the actual usage is just, it's outrageous. I don't understand why, even if they don't limit it for the prisoners, they could certainly get a better deal. I don't understand why there's no new contract being looked at, because that's just a bad deal for the taxpayer.
Right. And so Sheriff Rowe is saying they pay 8 cents a minute. Like, who pays by the minute anymore for any phone service?
Yeah, I could do that for 2 cents a minute and make a huge profit on it. It's just mind blowing that we're so stupid to do that.
And he said
that's what it comes down to.
He said that he wants the ability to be able to negotiate that contract himself, because there are other counties where their jails are paying, you know, half as much for those phone calls. So why is Bristol County so expensive?
Yeah, first of all, it shouldn't be at the county level. It needs to be at the state level. They need one price, and it needs to be absolutely rock bottom. And they could do that if they did it at the state level. That's the problem. They have all the different counties who have their, you know, you got the phone guy at eight different locations making money. You got, you know, instead of one guy at the state level. So I think that's part of the problem.
I can make a guess, and I'm not, you know, trying to say that I have any info at all. This is just me pulling this out of my butt. But it could be possible that the previous contract, if you know, Sheriff Hodgson had any say in that, or if he had been involved in that, or, you know, because if that had been negotiated under him, he might have been restrictive in the time that he gave them to use it, because he was just restrictive in the activities that the prisoners could have. So that maybe because it was so little used, they charged more for it. And now that it's going to be used more, they could lower the price. But they're, you know what I mean? Like, when you don't use something as often, they charge you a higher premium for it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but I got to believe he could buy thousands and thousands of minutes for a few hundred dollars a month. And you know, it shouldn't be totally unlimited. It should be done as a reward. And if you're, you know, a compliant prisoner, yeah, you get 100 hours or 100 minutes a week to use, but not unlimited on the taxpayer's back for 8 cents a minute. It's just outrageous. It just blows my mind. I'd love that contract. That'd be the only contract I would need. I wouldn't need to do anything else. I could live right off of that.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. But real quick on Waltz, and I'm a Trump voter, but I have to agree with you. I think attacking military people is wrong, regardless if you're a weekend guards guy or if you're a full-time 30-year military guy. That's wrong. But I will say, Waltz's own fault, because he has not come out and stood in front of a room of reporters and taken 1,000 questions from the reporters ad nauseum and completely knocked it off the radar and moved on. Mm-hmm. He's allowed it to continue on. And, you know, there are plenty of press people who carry water for him, and they've kind of tried to cover it up, but it's not working. He needs to talk to the American people, put it to bed, and move on. Yeah. That's it. And I don't think he has. And that's,
even
that's
his answer to Dana Bash was a non-answer on it. So it was still skirting the question.
And, you know, she set him up with a good question to be able to knock a lot of it out, and he didn't. And that's his own doing, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Take care, Tim.
Have a good day.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And so just going back to the jail phone calls, I'm looking. I thought that I saw something where I wasn't sure if it was in the WPRI article that I read or in Sheriff Harrow's release exactly, where he talked about the exact cost of what it would be. But I don't see it here in the release or in the Channel 12 story. But I thought I saw something about, you know, he's figuring out the amount of minutes that it was actually done. But he told, as I said, it was 8 cents a minute for the Bristol County calls. But he said inmate calls cost 2 cents per minute in another Massachusetts county. So the number one question I have before we even talk about limiting these, and by the way, I might be the most liberal guy in the world, but I agree, too, that there should be a limit to the amount of phone calls that you can make if you're in jail. You know, I think you should be able to use, there should be time every day where you can use the phone if you want to, but I don't think you should be able to stay on it as long as you want, because more than anything, I'm worried about fights erupting over people fighting over who gets the phone. But I want to know why one county is paying 8 cents a minute and why the other is paying 2 cents a minute. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
I heard the bell, so I figured I was. But this whole thing about the National Guard and Walt, I was in the regular Army, but I took basic, and there were National Guard people taking basic. They didn't receive any special treatment. They had to take basic training in the U.S. Army. And this thing about them, they can be called up, and they were sent to Afghanistan and Iraq. There were units of the National Guard, especially in combat support, that were sent, you know, to war zones. So I just, you know, he may not have been amongst those people, but for people to say that that NGs, which is what they were designated as when I was in the regular Army, that they can't go to a combat zone is a bunch of baloney. It's not true.
Yeah, it sounds like you have respect for people that serve in the National Guard.
I do, because they provided combat support. There were quite a few of them when I was stationed in Korea in the regular Army. So, you know, and combat support is very important. I mean, they're the people who feed the troops. They're the people who provide them with clean uniforms, medical care, you know. I mean, they're needed. They're vital.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Have a good day. Now. And I do got to take one final break for this hour. We will be right back. Welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back after the news, we're going to have our conversation with Jamie Rubio, a historical investigator, journalist, author, and she's going to share with us the true story of Bathsheba Sherman, the woman who has been unfairly accused of being a witch and being in league with the devil, murdering an infant and taking her own life on the property that has become known as the Conjuring House. And people